Good evening. The lesson I have for us this evening is where are the blessings? Where are the blessings? By show of hands, how many of us feel or know that they've been blessed, either spiritually or physically, materially, since having become a Christian? Okay, I think that's everybody's hand. Okay. By show of hands, how many people here have concerns? And by concerns, I mean actions that will happen or circumstances that exist that you have little or no control over. Anybody in that camp also? Okay, some better off than others. Okay, now how many have been praying for God's directions in more of those concerns? Excellent. Good response here, 100% right now. So, we've been blessed, but yet we do have concerns. We do offer up prayer. That's a great thing. Perhaps we've received blessings or answers to prayer in a way that was different from what we wanted or expected. That's answered prayer and blessings also. Or maybe I can phrase that a little differently. How can we know what blessings we have in Christ? How can we know what blessings we have in Christ? In the few verses, the first few verses, of the last of the compiled books of the Bible, that is in Revelation 1 and 3, we read the following, Revelation 1, 3. Blessed is he that reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. It's Revelation 1, 3. One way that we can know about the blessings is to read the Word of God, through which we learn how God blessed his people, his chosen people in the Old Testament, as well as how those who are obedient to Christ and his church today are blessed. The Bible is the perfect guide for happiness, but most people are not willing to give anything, meaning what is necessary, to acquire its blessings. Some will not study it, some will not put it into practice, or will miss out on the blessings available from God, from the Lord. In the early church, there were those, of course, the Jews first received the gospel, and they tried to bring some of the Old Testament, the Old Law, into the Church of Christ to complicate things. And it's not complicated. They tried to bind things that they knew themselves that they couldn't follow, but those things were put aside. The blessings found in Christ are those things that are written on the heart, not written into all the different ordinances, some of what we've been looking at in the study of the Old Testament and all the different rules and guidance that was provided and that they needed to follow rather exactly. We're blessed when we're obedient to learn what we can find in God's Word. In John 13, after supper, Christ demonstrated an attitude of humility and service by washing his disciples' feet. You can see that in John 13, 5 through 12. John 13, 5 through 12. I'm not going to read all of that, but if you'll look, you'll see here that he was setting an example. After that, starting in verse 5, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now let's go ahead and go down to verse 17, a few verses later, or rather 16 and 17. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We read in the scriptures what it is that we are to do. Follow the commandments of God. If we don't do them, it might follow that we might not be happy. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Well, what if we don't? Again, some will not study it or put it into practice and miss out on the blessings of the Lord. In that verse 17 or 16 and 17, we read that Jesus said to them after he gave his disciples a lesson on service. Now, is that just saying that washing someone's feet is what we're supposed to do? Well, perhaps, but that's not the end of it. It's not just there. Christ's entire life was one of obedience and example. Still in John, turning back to 6:38, John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. As Christ speaking, we are here not to do our own will, but we're to follow the words of God and the example of Christ. The life of Christ, his words and actions, were obedience to God and set the perfect example for us, each one of us today. Christ asked his disciples, rather, in Luke 6:46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? We are blessed with food, clothing, shelter, some form of transportation to get where we need to go, food, clean water, etc. Things that we see when our missionaries come and give their reports are not necessarily things that they can depend on where they're serving. But here in the United States, say for the most part, we have all those, yes? And Jesus also taught that it's appropriate to give thanks for those types of things, those physical blessings. He taught his disciples to ask for their daily food, Matthew 6 and 11. But physical and material things, or blessings, are not the most valuable, though we may think them to be important. One example is the rich young ruler. He was challenged due to the great possessions he had. Let's look in Matthew 19. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? And he, that being Jesus, said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things I've kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. All of the things, that the wealth that he had, the power or influence perhaps that he had in life, that wasn't what was most important. Christ knew his heart, knew what was important to him. He knows what's important to each one of us. What will we put aside to serve God? We also see the opposite, in that some did sell all that they had and gave the proceeds to the church so fellow Christians could benefit from that. We see that in Acts 2, 44 and 45. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. As you'll recall, this is the early church, the first after the first gospel was first preached. Acts chapter 2, 44 and 45. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Now, they had unique situations. Not that they're not people today that don't face the different challenges, that once they become a Christian, that there are people who leave them, people, resources that become unavailable to them. But they saw to it that everyone had those things that were mentioned before that were necessary, food, perhaps clothing. There are two areas that we can look at when we talk about blessings that may come to mind. We think about what are called the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 3 through 11, and Luke 6, 20 and 22 both record Christ's words that he described how people are blessed in circumstances which we may not, at least on the surface, regard as situations that appear to be a blessing. Now, since God created us, and this was somewhat referred to before, is it not reasonable to conclude that he knows what we need? Happiness is not found in possessions. We just read that. When Jesus spoke the Beatitudes, he did not say, "Blessed are the rich, for the more a person has, the happier he is." In fact, we know that not to be the truth. If that were true, then all of the people that we see in Hollywood or that are held up in social circles, they would be ecstatic, happiest people that we can find. Yet, when it comes to people who abuse substances, people who commit crimes, people who take their own lives, why is it these people that some hold in esteem and look to and say, "I want what they have," why aren't they happy? Because it's not the things. That's not what the blessings are. Yet, again, that's what our current society in some places seems to believe and practice. Instead, happiness is attained through such means as character development, humility, meekness, purity of heart, and the deepening of one's relationship with God, that is, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, which is defined in God's word. We're going to look at three of the situations recorded in God's word as blessings, three of those beatitudes. First one being Matthew 5 and 4. Matthew 5 and 4. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We experience loss of a loved one, or perhaps something material that we hold dear, as a result of a real-time catastrophe. We're reading about the fires and the flooding that's going on, and time and again, people who have lost all of their belongings, they're upset and they're saddened by it, but it seems to a person, they all said, "Well, we have each other, our lives are saved, and that's what's important." You can accumulate more stuff. Sometimes I wish I could get rid of some of my stuff. Okay. But what we can't replace is a human life. The frustration as a result of situations at work might be something that we experience, school, or relationships, or something over which, again, we have no control. We experience pain from illness. We're crippled in our ability to perform, perhaps as a result of chronic physical, mental, medical, or maybe mental health challenges. These are real conditions, but while we're seeking comfort or an advocate or medical practitioner, as Christians we know God is in charge of all things. He'll take care of us. He'll provide. We have the opportunity to learn and grow when we experience adversity. I was discussing in the hallway this morning, and something that you've probably heard before, the idea of being careful what you ask for. If you pray for patience and then wonder why it seems that you get stuck at every red light, or that there are people that keep coming to you and asking you to do things, and you're just saying, "Lord, I wish you could, you know, give me patience to help me to deal with these." And of course, how do you get better at anything except by practice, correct? So careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. We have, when we do experience loss in the different things in life, it almost goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, that helps us not only to be able to get through that situation should it arise again, but in the idea of fellowship in the family, what if there's a brother or sister that's faced with that situation? Having been through it, you can emphasize. You can say, "I've been there." Sympathy is, "I feel sorry for you, though I can't for a minute fathom what you're going through." Empathy, "I've been there. I do know what you're going through." After all, God has promised to take care of our needs. So first, have no fear, because he does take care of us. As the song from some years back says, "Don't worry, be happy." Or why worry in our case, because we can't do anything about that. Let's look at Matthew 6, 25 through 34. This is one of my favorite verses text in the scripture, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. It's come and help. It's been helpful for me on my job. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them, or like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We worry needlessly about things that we have no control. We offer up prayers to God, and then we press on. We have certain resources that are available to us, including the people around us, our fellow Christians, and they can pray for us too, but don't lose any sleep over it. You just end up being tired and still have to face the same challenge. But we worry anyway. Perhaps we're concerned that what the Lord will provide for us is not going to be what we want, when we want, or how we want it. Our mindset should be that we want God to provide us what we need when he knows we need it or are ready for it in the way that he wants. If you ever had a child or seen a child said, you know, Mylon gave an example, I want that car. Well, you might not be ready for that car just yet. Maybe you don't know how to drive. Maybe you can't afford the insurance. You know, there's some things that go behind the things that we want that we may not take into consideration. However, what we think, again, may not be consistent with what our Father God knows will be best for us. Now, there's some thought. The Creator knows what's in the best interest of his creation. Why? Yes. Yes, he does. No matter how many times I think about it, and I thank the Lord for, thank God for his ability, it's something that we can't get our minds around. I constantly use analogies to try to get across, if not even to help myself understand, to help other people understand how we look at things. Again, talking about children. Little children don't understand, and many of us don't understand, what happens when you flip a switch that causes the lights to go on. We just take it for granted. There's so many things that happen, not just the light bulb being there, but all that goes around. Where is the electricity actually generated from? We don't give a lot of thought to that. Right now, you're all listening. You're here, you're breathing, the blood is coursing through your veins, but you're not thinking about, am I breathing? Is my heart beating? Is my body digesting the meal that I took in earlier? You know, are all these things working? The body is very intricate or wonderfully made, as it said in the Old Testament. One that's able to put all of that together can handle my little problems without any concern. Let's look also to Matthew 5 and verse 6. 5 and 6. We looked at 4. Blessed are they that mourn. Number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Here's a good one. Well, they're all good. But you may have heard me or others use the analogy, again, because I'm convinced it's very relevant to the human race. In fact, I heard it this morning. Where do you look for instructions on how to best keep something operating at peak performance? You look in the instruction manual. I think the analogy was somebody was talking about putting together a bicycle, or how easy it is or isn't if you don't read the instructions, how much more difficult in the world with all its complexities and all the interactions that we have with each other and all the different attitudes, all the variables that are out there, how much more difficult is it to operate if you don't know how things are supposed to operate, what makes them work best? In an operating manual or instruction book, that's a good source to look at. Well, what's the operating manual for man? We have it right here, the Bible. If you look at all the situations, and again, we've been studying them in the Old Testament of what God said to do, and when they followed God's words, everything worked. Everything happened. They were taken care of. They provided water. They provided food when they had left Egypt. If they went out and tried to gather more food than they were supposed to, not following the instructions, the food spoiled. Okay? Slow learners, of course, who are we to talk? Right? God created us in His image, Genesis 1:26. All the intricate workings of our body are His design. Within its pages, the Bible, we learn about the limitations of man, the best types of relationships, attitudes, behaviors, priorities, etc., that we should have to function as we've been designed. But at some time in our lives, when we become of a responsible age, the responsibility falls to us to learn about and follow the maintenance schedule. You're here this evening as part of the maintenance of our souls. We're learning more about the scripture so that we can understand it and apply it and teach others. After we learn that, then we can help to ensure the right things happen, that is, what we hear, see, and touch, for us to continue operating at peak performance. Look also to Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Matthew 5, verses 10 and 11. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. And verse 12 as well. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Not too long ago, we had the pleasure of having the Sword family with us. And in talking with them, some of you may have heard them mention that when they were out in public there, that the children, either by themselves or even as a family, sometimes people would speak mean to them or treat them cruelly because they were either foreigners or Americans or because they had such a large family. He said, well, what do you mean by that? If you remember, he said that there it's not unusual because of the conditions and economics that their families be limited really to just one child. Or if there are multiple children, there may be as many as 10 years in between them because they just economically were not able to sustain or raise multiple children. So when they saw that group together, it just was totally against what they are contrary to what they were used to in their culture. Now, I didn't mention whether or not, because just looking at them, they couldn't tell. I mean, I'm sure they dressed as they did here conservatively, but looking at somebody and seeing and knowing that they were Christians, why they were persecuted. However, I'm certain that their attitudes, their lack of response in kind, perhaps when they were treated evilly, cruelly, that those things reflected something different about them. Let's look at Paul's attitude toward the problems of life. Now, his attitude, again, was definitely different from what someone in the world or maybe one of us might have when our faith grows weak. How have you been treated because of your faith? Have you been shunned, excluded, perhaps made fun of? We have members who have persistent physical ailments having nothing to do with faith. But how can that be counted as a blessing? Well, let's look. Some people consider enduring inconveniences as an opportunity to demonstrate strength of faith. Paul was suffering physically, though we have no idea what it was specifically, and he records how he saw the blessings of his infirmities. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Those sayings that we've read before seem to be contradictory. How can you say, why, I love the fact that people are treating me wrong. I love the fact that I'm being excluded. I love the fact that I've got this problem that, physical or otherwise, that I can't get rid of. But in all of that, Paul maintained the attitude that I'm going to serve God no matter what. I'm going to preach. I'm going to get past this because God has a purpose for me. That's tough to do. When we can look around and we see people who appear to have, again, those things that we would like to have in our minds, because we are social beings. We do like creature comforts, but if we have what we need, if we have the relationships, few though they may be, good relationships, then what more do we need? Can you? Some of you know something about Facebook. I know many of you do. But the one who has the most friends, I mean, are those really your friends? No, they're not. See, somebody saying, no, they're not your friends. But they're people who maybe have some common interests. But a friend is someone that you can spend time with, that you can do things with, that, as they say, they accept you for who you are. But on the same token, other side of that, they will also tell you who you are or what it is that you're doing, tell you what we need to hear. Let me make that personal, as opposed to just what we want to hear. You know, boy, you really look good in that suit. Or who let you buy that suit? Depends on who you're talking to. Okay. Looking here, again, back to Paul and the problems that he was having. Three times he petitioned the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh. Now, Paul was doing the work of the Lord. He was taking care of him, watched out for him on numerous occasions. But one might think, well, if God really cared for him, he would remove that infirmity. But you know, as Christians, we know that being a Christian doesn't mean that our lives are perfect in the world sense, or even in ours. But we are perfect spiritually in God when we seek to serve him and follow his will. We may not understand God's plan, whether to keep us humble or help us develop a better spiritual attitude, but historically, at least in my life, in his way, God has always come through. Always. It's always happened better than I could have planned. It came timely. As I said, sometimes we think, well, if I had this now, everything would be fine. Well, maybe we're not equipped in our minds and otherwise to have that. Though I don't advocate it, you probably heard for individuals who come into great wealth, perhaps through a lottery or some other means. Maybe it's inheritance. But if you've never had money or possessions before, if you've never been a steward of those types of things, then there's the danger that you can be wasted or taken away from you because of lack of preparation or knowledge. So some things come our way when we are, and many things come our way if we follow God, when we are ready. Remember the grief that Joseph experienced in the Old Testament from the time his brothers, and these were actually his brothers, tossed him into a pit and then sold him into slavery, up through which he became second in command in the kingdom of Egypt to the Pharaoh. All of his experiences, good and bad, the blessings as well as the injustices, prepared him for the role that God had for him to play in the saving of his people. We look in Genesis 37, 24 through 28. We see where he's tossed into the pit and then sold into slavery. Later on in chapter 40, verses 2, 20 and 23, we see different instances where when he was placed in charge of Potiphar's house, how it prospered. When he was put in jail after being wrongfully accused, he still did well. The jailer, can you imagine that? A jailer just handing over the keys to one of the prisoners and saying, here, you take care of everything. I'll be over here if you need something. But he had that level he followed God and God took care of him. Despite his treatment by his brothers, being lied about or on and thrown in jail, being forgotten about by the chief butler who he told him, you're going to be restored. The Lord made all that he did to prosper under his hand. And it was several years before Joseph became fully aware of God's promise, or purpose rather, for him. That is to save the family, the children of Israel, from the drought, and eventually, as we know, the bloodline leading to Christ. God has a plan. We can read about it and we see it, but he didn't know at that time. There are blessings of God that are available to all his creation also. In Matthew 5 and the last part of verse 45, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. It's there. The cycle, the water cycle, all of those things happen, and it doesn't have anything to do with who is there. There's nobody today praying that the rain will cease in order to make a point and show the power of God. But the cycles and everything that's in place, it affects everybody. When we look at the weather, some of the flooding that goes on, yes, there are good as well as evil, if you will, people that are impacted by all of that. But God has provided a veritable feast of spiritual blessings for us if we will just take advantage of them. In Ephesians 1 and 3, which was read earlier, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Perhaps some of our blessings are in the form of our attitudes and action. The fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Spiritual blessings provide contentment, while physical things do not. Galatians 5. 22 and 23. Let's take a look at those. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Good attitudes to have. Our relationship with God continues into eternity. Physical things stay here. Surely we want to face the judgment as the best people we can possibly be. We each have those things we readily acknowledge as our blessings. I look among them. You can make a list, I'm sure, yourself. The Church of Christ, God's people, our physical and spiritual family. The opportunity to serve the Lord through his church and continue to grow in knowledge and faith. The promise of a crown of life for those who are faithful unto death. We see that in Revelations 2:10. Knowledge that God has and will continue to provide all we need, as we read in Matthew 6:25 through 34 earlier. Don't worry about those things. And here on earth, I think all, if not most of us, have a safe, dry place to live, clothes, food. If not, we need to let someone know, just as in the early church, they all took care of each other and made sure that all the necessities are there. So as Christians also, not only do we have an obligation to help, but we need to let other people know, let family know when we need help. We have the opportunity to be stewards over the material blessings that we do have for our daily use as we serve in the kingdom. And many of us have gained full employment or some means of income to meet our current needs. And if I work outside the home, whether paid or volunteer, I can be a positive influence and witness for Christ in my words, my attitude, in my actions, whether I'm at work or in the community. That's just to name a few. If we view God's precepts for what they are, infallible guidance, so we can have peace and joy in this life, then we'll recognize the blessings of God. 1 John 5 and 3 reads as follows. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Very simple. We follow God's commands, that demonstrates our love for him and allows him to demonstrate his love for us. Everything written in God's word and every situation we experience that God allows provides an opportunity to be blessed. We don't want to be tested as Job was. You read that story, and I don't want to go through that. But we do strive to be faithful. Recall that in the end, he had twice what he had before. He was blessed because of his faithfulness, even though he went through quite a significant adversity in losing his family members and much of his material blessings. We can view what is written and what happens from us from day to day as either a hindrance or a blessing. It depends on us. What's the status of our heart? Do we recognize our blessings and are we thankful for them? Notice that the blessed and the Beatitudes are dealing with different things, situations, but keeping up faith when things seem to be going from bad to worse, remembering Job, is what we need to do in order to make sure that we are being faithful to God and to enjoy the blessings that are promised. So, everything's available to those who are faithful to God through his word. We have to read and study his word in order to find those blessings. When I say find, to have an appreciation for them. Every situation that we find ourselves in, when we're doing well, I would say, going off script slightly, when we're doing well may be the most important time for us to take a step back and see what it is that we have and what it is that we should do with what we have. One of the dangers that we see in the scripture is that those who had a great many material things put more faith in them than in being faithful to God. You've heard the saying, and it's become almost trite, that you don't see a U-Haul in a funeral procession. Now, the Egyptians had in their mind that if they built these big pyramids and put everything in them, they thought that there was going to be a material afterlife, and they wanted to take things with them. Well, they're gone. People have broken in and stolen their things that they thought they might take with them. And we know that those material things, accumulating them, and sometimes the effort that goes to accumulating them more than what is needed is wasteful. So, have you been blessed? Well, I think everybody said yes, we have. Do we have concerns? Some of us do, some of us don't. Do we pray for those things to be taken care of? Yes, but all of life is a blessing, whether it's good things that happen to us or those challenges that we face, some of the ones that we read about in the Beatitudes, some of the situations that we see that the disciples and the apostles had to face. And all of them, they considered it a blessing. Stephen, for him to be able to say, forgive those who were stoning him, he knew that he had something more to look forward to and that his actions were going to result in a blessing. What, in retrospect, was one of the blessings, perhaps, that came, and it's hard to see unless you look at the big picture, that came out of that. Wasn't there someone named Saul that was standing around that held all the cloaks or watched the clothing of those that were doing the stoning? And later on, as we know, he became one of the strongest advocates. Is that adversity? Yes. But was it a blessing? Yes, but you really have to look at it. And that's what we find ourselves in, situations where we really have to look at it and see where are those blessings in God and not lose faith. If you're here this evening and have not made a choice to be obedient to God, the gospel of Christ, remember it was first preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And it was repeated by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. We also know from Romans 10 13 through 14. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In Mark 16:16, we read, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, and this was the first gospel sermon preached to the Jews gathered in Jerusalem, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Later on in Acts 8:36-38, it's recorded that after being taught by Philip, the eunuch asked, What hindered him from being baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, you mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Upon that confession, he was baptized. Remember that the Jews at the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, or after the day of Pentecost, asked what they should do, and were told by Peter in Acts 2:38, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, again, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Christ came to earth, lived a sinless life, and was obedient to God, taking on the sins of man and submitting to death on the cross, and then rose again, overcoming death, the gospel. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're ready to make the good confession and repent of your sins, be buried in baptism so the blood of Christ might wash away your sins, then you too can have the promise of heaven to those who live faithfully and the blessings that are available in Christ. If you're a Christian, but you've not been living in appreciation of the blessings we have through Christ, have the challenges in your life with which you would like to have prayers for the saints, if there are things that you have concerns, you too can come forward and make your prayer request known as Together We Stand and Sing the Song of Encouragement.